So, QKD, what's its deal? How many of you are familiar with quantum key distribution protocols, that kind of thing? Okay, so the first five slides will be somewhat repetitive for most of you. I'm just going to start with the premise and the protocols. Talk about the link we have at IQC already in free space, and then go on to the new stuff, which is putting it back in fiber instead of free space. So classically, of course, you can use a public key such as RSA, but that relies on factoring, which we all know quantum computers might possibly break. So then you move to a private key like the Vernon cipher or the one-time path, and that requires physical distribution of the actual key. You need a guy with a briefcase to go between the two parties and carry it there. So instead, you can use quantum cryptography to distribute the key. And so any information gain an eavesdropper would get from this quantum key distribution would disturb the state, and that can be detected by Bob when you compare some bits with Alice. They'll detect any information gain. Also, the no cloning theorem, of course, says the eave can't store the bits and then measure them later and gain any information that way. So the first protocol, 1984, from Benam Brassar, it's not good, starts with Alice takes a string of bits and encodes them in a random basis, either HV or plus or minus 45 degrees. So she chooses either of these two or these two randomly for each bit, sends them on to Bob. Bob will measure randomly in either basis, and the bases are chosen so that whenever they choose the same basis, they'll get the same key bit. Whenever they choose the opposite basis, they'll be uncorrelated. So they just then compare publicly which bases they measured in and discard all the other bits, and so they have a shared key at the end. The next protocol is eight better, DBM92. Uses Bell space instead and entangled photons. It's not susceptible to, say, a photon number splitting attack because Eve can't just split off a couple photons from a weak laser pulse, store them, and then measure them later. Because they'll always go at two photons at the same time here. So the same thing, Alice and Bob, now they both measure. So if Alice just measures in her black box, it's equivalent in security to the DB84. So this is fine. And same thing, if Eve intercepts and resends, they'll detect it 25% error rate if Eve gets it wrong half the time. So just an example here. The photons come out here entangled, coupled into fibers or free space sent to Alice and Bob. They measure in their random bases. Then they compare. Every time they use a different basis, they discard it, and so they get a shared SIFI key. This is the sort of protocol we use at IQC. They start off sending the photons, they do the basis choice, polarization measurement, and there's four signals for each of the four possible measurements results they could get. Each detection is time tagged for comparison to make sure they compare the right photon pairs. Then they compare their basis choice, assisting, get a raw key, perform error correction using blocks bits. They get a QBER, an error corrected key, and finally privacy application. And every step reduces the key length they have to end up with the final key that's shared and very small. So we have this free space link in IQC. Chris built it. Chris Irvin built it over a few years. It sends it approximately 1,300 meters in either direction from a central building, and from it you can get 565 bits a second out raw and 85 after all the protocols and distillation. So and due to lower visibility than 100% in the bases, you end up with 4.92% error rate just for these things. And the new source we use is a Sagnac source, like Devin was talking about earlier. So the horizontal light comes out of the laser and passes through a half-wave plate, so you can rotate it to any orientation you want before it hits the polarizing beam splitter right here. So that, like you said, passes horizontal and reflects vertical. So if you pump at 45 degrees, you won't know which direction you're pumping, so you get the entanglement there, and then the same beam splitter splits it up to go to Alice or Bob. Again, so Alice and Bob will be the anti-correlated state, the sideline state here. And visibility is a measure of how good the source is. So good counts would be anti-correlated, so they get plus minus or HV or vice versa. And bad counts would be HH and plus plus. So I was able to get 97-95% of the two bases. I think Chris has done better, but I don't have the same experience. And at each Alice and Bob size, the photons come in through a telescope up here, and then they focus down to a small point, go through just a spectral filter to take out the whatever extra light. And this is the 50-50 beam splitter that accomplishes the random basis choice. So half the light will go here, half of the photons will go down here to either the HV basis, or this is the plus-minus basis because it's first rotated by the half-wave plate at 45 degrees. And then another polarizing beam splitter, so the H photons go through here, the V ones get split off into here, and each one goes through a different channel of the avalanche photodiode single photon detectors. And they output a pulse to a time-tagging unit, which uses really accurate timing so that we can compare when the photons, when each photon pair arrives. That timing information is used to make a histogram of coincidences versus the time offset. So there should be a sharp peak somewhere where all the entangled pairs are received, and then basically just noise everywhere else. So the actual new stuff. The telecom industry uses these 1550 posts. Sorry. Yeah.
Before you move on, I actually never heard that question before.
Okay.
Do you need to know how long exactly the link is?
You give it a coarse offset. So, like, say, if you're detecting one locally and one across the link, that would be about 4,500 nanoseconds. And as long as you're within a few hundred, the software can find the correct offset. So just be close. Okay. So these 1550 have the least attenuation in fiber, so that's why telecom wants to use it, because they use many photon pulses, so they don't care about single photon detection. But you can't get good, cheap, or small detectors at all at 1550. They're just these bulky things and really expensive. So we want to try and use 810 photons, which have good detection, but they're poor in the fiber. They decay a lot faster than 1550, obviously. So just for comparison, here's the attenuation you get per kilometer. But the efficiency of the detector cancels that out somewhat. So as long as you're using a length of 2 kilometers or less, you'll get better efficiency at 810 than at 1550. And that's about the crossover of 2 kilometers. And also because you're using a fiber that's too big, it's 4 1550 photons, you should expect 2 spatial modes, at least, of the 810 photons when it's through that fiber. And they'll go at different speeds, and also they'll have 2 different polarization rotations. And in the source, there's these bat ears here, and they can correct for any polarization rotation in the fiber. But since there's only one set of bat ears, you can only correct for one of those spatial modes. So if you have one random, sorry, Devin. Because it's installed everywhere. So like there's links existing, and you wouldn't have to build your own. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. So if you have one mode that you can correct for and one mode you can't, you should get really reduced visibilities, and that would hurt the ability to distribute keys at all. So at first, just to see if the software could handle this, we simulated the two modes just by delaying half of the photons in this one channel. So half of them would go through here straight down, and then half of them go in this longer section. And that made about 6 nanosecond delay. We just made sure that you still get good visibility. And so you can see in the histogram here, there's the first one and then the delayed one. And those beam splitters aren't perfectly 50-50, so that'd be why one is taller than the other, and you can switch them back and forth either way, it doesn't really matter. And the software easily picks one peak here, and so you still get pretty good visibility. And then when we actually put it through the fiber, the second peak doesn't really appear at all, so that wasn't such a big issue. You can see it coming out at longer fiber lengths, just a tiny bit here and here. But even at short lengths, when you can't distinguish it from the main peak, it didn't affect visibility, and that was still great visibility there. But unfortunately, the visibility decays when you go to longer fiber lengths, just because the count rates get so much lower from the attenuation. And there's just huge fluctuation. It's difficult to adjust there. And just to show that spatial mode interpretation was right, it scales linearly with the fiber length, the separation between the offset of the two modes. So that goes right through zero for zero fiber length, as you'd hope, and linearly out there. And the important result is, as you also hope, the attenuation is exponential in the fiber length for both single count rates, like just the total counts each detector was seeing, and the coincidences that you'd see. They're close to exponential on a log scale here. And so at 2,000 meters, which is what the link we're going to use is, it got 87% loss, which is just less than 90 you'd predict, and less than the 1550 loss. So the conclusion here is, for 2 kilometer link, 810 is a good substitute for 1550 because of the higher efficiency and the decreased cost. The next step is to actually put it through the link, the fiber link we have between MATH on campus and PI. They installed a 2.2 kilometer fiber link, and there's another one at 600 meters going downtown somewhere here. So we'll hopefully use both of those to implement a full QKD protocol. Thanks. Yeah, that would be great. And then we could get all the components we'd ever need really cheap. Sorry, yeah.
On a related issue, is there a reason the telecommunication uses
1550? Yeah, it has much less attenuation in fiber. So even at 810 fiber, 810 will still attenuate more, a lot more.
So I'm a little bit confused because I don't understand optics or optical wires.
Okay.
But so I imagine that if you want to use the already, you know, wires everywhere,
yeah,
they have to be not used for anything else.
That's right.
If you wanted to do it for this, the chances of that happening are probably pretty small because they're probably there for a reason.
That's right. But if you, for the one at the PI isn't used heavily at all. But if you were using 810 photons and telecoms all using 1550, you could spectrally filter that and only receive your photons out at the other end. They haven't done it at 810 and 1550 fiber. They've used the right fiber for the job.
So you're
making it harder using the wrong fiber, yeah. Just to show that it would be applicable for cities that have fiber networks in places, yeah. Okay.
What's the worst loss?
You could deal with? Let's see. We were getting about 500 coincidences a second at 5 kilometers. And so, let's see. That would go to zero in another 1 or 2. So I think something like 12 decibels, 15? Total? No, this was actual spools of fiber I was running it through.
Where were these?
We just bought them, just on a spool. You get like a couple kilometers of fiber and plug it in.
Is there IPT?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
12
kilometers?
12 decibels, so maybe 7 to 10 kilometers? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, it would still have to be, well, yeah, to evanescent, I don't know. I'm not sure how polarization transmits through evanescence, so I'm not equipped to answer this.
That's a very experimental question.
Yeah.
Do you have your batteries?
The batteries? What are they?
Yeah, what are they?
They're just coils of fiber. So the fiber comes in here and it's coiled around each of them. And by rotating all three in some permutation, you can get any polarization correction you want. Elliptical, horizontal, vertical, whatever.
In the fiber, yeah.
And that's, we just do that by trying to maximize count rate. So you just look at it and move it until it gets better. But there's an automatic polarization controller coming soon, I think, to the system. That'll be better.
There are no more questions. Let's thank Avenue Jammers.